Roboticists at MIT have created a robotic fish named Sophie, short for soft fish, that moves remarkably like a real fish when it swims underwater. It doesn't produce bubbles or noise that can disturb living underwater creatures, so it can be used to study ocean life up close. And joining us now is Robert Kochman from the Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at MIT. Robert, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you've brought some props with you here, but describe this robotic fish for us.
So Sophie is a fish that is made of a soft tail. So the posterior, like the back half of this fish, is made of a rubber material. And Sophie can go in the ocean and uses the water of the ocean inside of its tail to cause a fish-like swimming motion. And we use that to explore the ocean.
I've seen a video of this, and we'll post it at hereandnow.org, but it looks kind of like a real fish.
Yes, and that was definitely something we were going for. Like, the whole development of this robot was with the intention to use this soft material and, like, hydraulics to actually make a fish that can look and feel and also swim like a fish. So when you put some sort of force or pressure into this tail, then the motion that is created looks like a fish and it swims similar to the strokes of that tail. They call it the undulation, meaning the tail, it undulates like a fish.
How does this compare to previous versions of robotic fish?
So previous versions of the robotic fish would traditionally use motors, a whole series of motors that are connected with rigid links, and you have to bring them into a very like coordinated motion to simulate a somewhat undulation of a fishtail.
Now, I read that one of the things that you did was that you had to fill the head with a small amount of baby oil. What is that about?
Well, so in order to go deep, in order to go down to depth as a normal diver would go, we have to make sure that Sophie doesn't compress too much. So all of the parts that shouldn't touch water, meaning the electronics, they have to be protected. So we used an oil, and all of these chambers were fully filled with oil and then just closed off.
What else is on the inside of the fish?
So we have a pump that takes the water and circulates it back and forth within the tail. We also have a battery, and we have a fisheye camera, and we have a little controller board, and we have an underwater microphone that listens to like remote control signals.
And for Sophie, acoustic signals are very important.
For Sophie, acoustic signals have the importance of high-level commands. So Sophie can be told commands about, please keep going to your left or keep exploring to your right. You have a diver several feet away, and the diver tells that to Sophie. And it happens every second that Sophie gets a ping from the diver using ultrasonic sound waves.
I hear that many of the components of this are 3D printed.
Yes. So like all of the molds that we used to make the tail are 3D printed. The tail itself is made of a silicone elastomer. It's a type of rubber. Otherwise, the hull and the nose and all of these things are made of 3D printed material.
Now, you've got several tails in front of me. Tell me about the difference between these.
So I brought these tails to give you an idea about the development of Sophie and the different stages we've been to. A lot went into casting this fishtail and like tuning the size of the interior, ballooning like these hollow sections, but also getting the material right. So when you touch them, some of them feel soft, some of them feel harder. And so there was a lot of development just to get the tail in the right shape.
What is the biggest challenge of a fish like this?
So the biggest challenges are to first get the tail motion right so that you actually can swim. So just wiggling doesn't do the job. You have to get that motion right so it actually swims forward. And also then swim into turns requires control on the tail. And then the other challenge is to just get it go into depth, like overcoming the pressure and not starting to sink very quickly.
How deep have you sent this thing?
About 60 feet deep, so 18 meters.
And is that the ultimate goal, or do you want to go way deep down?
We definitely want to go deeper. But for those first explorations, we were also just, I myself, I'm not certified to go deeper as a diver. So we had that as our first limit.
And how fast can Sophie go?
So right now it goes at half a body length per second. That's about 28 centimeters per second. I am not good in converting that into...
Well, I have never heard of things measured in half a body length either, but is that something you do?
That's something very common, because when you look at locomotion of robots, you want to understand it's in scale of the size of the robot. Like, how fast are you going in relation to how big you are?
What's been the biggest surprise for you about this?
The biggest surprise was when I was designing this and testing it in a pool, and actually when we first got in the ocean and that we could deploy it and the things worked, luckily, like the communication to Sophie, the swimming at different depths that I never tried before, that was actually very surprising to me.
And if Sophie breaks, does she float to the top?
So if Sophie breaks, Sophie will float to the top, and we just like collect Sophie and then fix whatever's broken and bring her back in the ocean.
How do other fish react to this fish?
So we had a various set of reactions, but mostly they were not bothered by Sophie. So most fish were continuing in their path, they continued swimming. We saw some fish swimming alongside of Sophie and just following Sophie, and some other fish, especially when they were very small, we could see them swimming away. I assume it was just the size and the eye facing forwards, but that's just a guess of mine.
And are you worried that Sophie will be eaten by a bigger fish?
So I'm both worried but also curious to get the video footage of that.
How do you hope that Sophie is going to be used?
I hope that Sophie can be used for studying the ocean. And I think there are several aspects, like studying how other fish behave, study interaction between robots and fish, but also to use Sophie with its camera, but also additional sensors that we plan to add to Sophie to actually study pollution, to study change in temperature, and other factors that affect the oceans.
Again, it's a really interesting video to watch. What's been the reaction to this that you found?
So a lot of people love, they think it's mesmerizing to see Sophie swim and to move its tail. And a lot of people feel convinced that going in this direction can open up a new field of underwater research and understanding the interactions with actual real fish and with marine life.
So what's your dream with this?
So my dream would be to have a school of Sophie, like going through the ocean and helping humans to gather information and to learn more about the ocean and the things we have not learned about yet.
And you can do that better with something like this than with a submarine?
So I think there's two aspects to it. A submarine has a different way of propelling itself. It causes like a jet that comes out of the back of the submarine, and those things are not as natural to the marine life as the tail motion of Sophie. But also the sheer cost of Sophie, the simplicity of the mechanism, we only need one pump to cause the whole swimming to happen and also to turn, while with propellers you might need more than one propeller or additional elements. I think that by itself is promising to lower the cost for deploying a whole school of Sophie.
That's Robert Kochman, who is a roboticist in the Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at MIT. We'll link you again to this video of the fish, the robotic fish, Sophie, at hereandnow.org. Robert, thank you.
Thank you.
Each little clown here, no heart to jam here, under the sea. Each little slug here, cutting a rug here, under the sea.